You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Topic: The Whipped Cream of Worship. Document title: In All You Do. In All You Do. It is one of my favorite phrases, and I say it many times: in all you do, praise the Lord. What is it really to praise the Lord? What does it mean for us? How do we praise the Lord? Is it continuous or just sometimes? Maybe it is even more than that. Is it a change in lifestyle? Maybe even a lifestyle. Those are a lot of questions. Also, with these questions, I have the closing of First Lady's Sunday School class going through my mind. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, King James Version. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is the red thread going through the Bible study book, the mezuzah, blood on the door. All in all, these are a lot of things I have been working with and on, and something that is close to my heart. In all you do, praise the Lord. Yes, okay, but how does this work? We listen to the radio a lot. While in the car, we heard one of the survivors of the train wreck in Spain, a young American man, and he was grateful that he had survived a concussion and a neck brace, but that was all. He said there was blood everywhere, and luggage fell from the overhead racks, and then his lights went out. We both thought it and were surprised not to hear it from this person. Oh, wow. Praise the Lord. Yes, this is truly something to praise God for. Thank you, Lord, for having my back. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, etc., etc. But you know what? Nothing. And then it came out. Yes, he was a church-going person. He went to the Church of Latter-day Saints. Not a single word about praising God. When the Cornhuskers win a game, what happens? The coach is praised for his great tactics, the players for the great plays, the quarterback for the great passes, and my friend, we can go on and on and on. But when do we praise God? In all you do, praise the Lord. What is it in this that we do not understand? Oh, okay, I know what it is. Not a four-letter word. And yes, there is one in there too. No, a three-letter word. A-L-L. In the church too, we only seem ready to give praises to God when something truly special happens or has happened. James chapter 1, verse 17. Common English Bible. Every good gift, every perfect gift, comes from above. These gifts come down from the Father, the Creator of the heavenly lights, in whose character there is no change at all. Knowing that God does not create nor give trash, we know that all comes from God. So let us give God praise for what He has provided to us in prayer. Thank you, God, our Holy Father, for all that You have done for us. Thank you, God, for giving us life. Thank you, God, for providing us with meals on our table and with clean water from the taps. Thank you, God, for our spouses and our children. Lord, we know that we all can be a pain in each other's side, but thank you, Lord, it reminds us again how blessed we are. Thank you, Lord, for the roof above our heads, the telephone, or the internet over which we are connected at this moment. And Adonai, our Abba, we praise you for this. We praise you, Lord, for giving us the victory over Satan through your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. We praise you, Adonai, for allowing us to choose you to be the Lord and King of our lives. We owe you, Lord Adonai, more than our own lives. All that we have, we owe to you, Lord. Our lives, our spouses, our children, all our possessions, all of it, Hashem, is yours. Adonai if it has been a long time since I expressed my gratefulness toward you for allowing me to be a steward over all of this, I apologize. Your holy name, YHWH, is great. You are Melech HaOlam, the King over the universe and the King over the earth. And you are the King over my life. I praise you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. I adore you, Lord. Hold me close to you, Father, so that I am safe and under your protection and blessings. Thank you, Abba, for your grace and mercy that you extend to us. And thank you, Abba, for the Holy Spirit guiding me. Amen. Now that this is off my chest, we can continue. And yes, I truly pray that you have prayed that with me. First Lady and I always pray to God, giving him thanks for whatever comes out of our refrigerator and our pantry. This is part of our giving thanks. Just like the prayer we just prayed, it is part of us worshiping God. But now the comparison with the football coach from earlier. When we thank him for the game, we thank him for the great plays. But when we talk about him to others, we can also give him praises. Oh yes, coach, he has such good insight. The way he anticipates plays is just wonderful, how he just knows how to place the right team and player in the right spot. What an insight. Okay, I am not a football fan nor a player, but I have heard it so many times. God, our God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. YHWH, Yeshua, Ruach HaKodesh. The Trinity, yes, that one, the one you call God, your coach. Praises, when, how, When we talked about the attributes of God in 2012 during Bible study, we spent weeks on them, and with that, on praising the Lord. When we change the word coach in the previous example and replace it with God, then we can see his names appear, and with that, give praise to him. Praise the Lord. Jehovah Nissi, Lord, you are my banner, who leads me to the right places at the right time. Lord God, you are my Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider, who gives when and what is needed. Lord, you are Jehovah Rapha, the great physician. Lord, you are the great shepherd, Jehovah Rohi, he who keeps guard at the gate. Lord God, you are Kohen HaGadol, the high priest and the bishop of our soul. And yes, we can go on and on. How great our God is, how omnipotent, how omnipresent, how wonderful, how great, how loving, how merciful, how full of grace, how timeless. Yes, when you start, it is hard to stop. Such a great and wonderful God we serve. We worship the Lord, and it is great to do this. We thank him. We receive from him. We are acknowledged by him with the blessings that we receive, and we acknowledge him with our time of worship and prayer and study and quiet time. But what about praise? Praise like we just did too, with the Hebrew names and the names in English, which are truly the great and wonderful attributes of God, in the same way as the great insight and responsiveness of our coach. That, my friends, wow, yes, that was the whipped cream on top of the worship. That, my dear friends, was praise. It is good to praise the Lord. No matter what we are experiencing or what we are going through, God is always worthy to be praised. We do not know why we did not get this job or why we are going through that, but God knows. And we never know where his blessing appears for us, but as praisers, we are ready to receive. By giving God praises, we lift ourselves out of the negativity of a bad situation, and our focus is redirected to a God who is good, merciful, and true. Our situation has changed on the spot. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. God is worthy to be praised. He is the creator of the universe, the redeemer, the Lamb, the Christ of God, the Saviour, and the King. He is so many things to us. As such a one, he is worthy to be praised. Holding to truth. The Bible is filled with scripture on praising God. How is it that, as Christians, we are so good at praying, thanking, and asking God, but that most Christians have not realized a life of praise yet? Psalm chapter 150, Complete Jewish Bible. Hallelujah! Praise God in His holy place. Praise Him in the heavenly dome of His power. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with a blast on the shofar. Praise Him with lute and lyre. Praise Him with tambourines and dancing. Praise Him with flutes and strings. Praise Him with clanging cymbals. Praise Him with loud crashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise Adonai. Hallelujah. This psalm starts and finishes with the word Hallelujah, meaning glory to Yah, glory to God. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Shout it from the rooftops with loud music and song. No, I am not saying praise Him only with hard rock. What David is saying, and what I am saying with him, is when you start praising the Lord, make it worthwhile. Do it with all you have. In the Psalms, we find another psalm, number 95, in which we can read the words of the psalmist David. We also see this psalm quoted in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7, Amplified Bible, by Paul. It was important enough for Paul to repeat and remind the people of this psalm of praise, which also holds a warning. Paul is using this to warn the believers at Jerusalem that they must stand strong in their faith and hold on. Psalm chapter 95, Amplified Bible. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights and strength of the hills are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, in reverent praise and supplication. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as at Meribah and as at Massah in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tried my patience and tested me, proved me, and saw my work of judgment. 40 years long was I grieved and disgusted with that generation. And I said, it is a people that err in their hearts, and they do not approve, acknowledge, or regard my ways. Wherefore, I swore in my wrath that they would not enter my rest, the land of promise. When we harden our hearts, or in other words, when we focus our hearts on the wrong things, there is no place for praises to God, and then our hearts will be filled with negativity. God despises a heart like this, and He had the Israelites traverse the desert for 40 years instead of 40 days because of it. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 to 12, Common English Bible. So, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not have stubborn hearts as they did in the rebellion, on the day when they tested me in the desert. That is where your ancestors challenged and tested me, though they had seen my work for 40 years. So I was angry with them. I said, their hearts always go off course, and they do not know my ways. Because of my anger, I swore, they will never enter my rest. Watch out, brothers and sisters, so that none of you have an evil, unfaithful heart that abandons the living God. Watch out, my brothers and sisters, that none of you have a heart that is filled with the world. As we have heard in the Sunday school class concerning the second commandment, a heart filled with the world and its idols is an unfaithful heart that has left our Lord God Almighty for the love of money, sex, attention, or all kinds of earthly possessions, all idols of the world. When, as Christians, we choose a life of praise, it is indeed a lifestyle change. Praise and worship is not a music style. It is more. It is a lifestyle. We went to a special class at our gym concerning weight loss and nutrition. There were not too many people, and we had lots of time for questions and answers. You know, that is where a great and oh-so-simple revelation started to grow in my heart. For many Christians, praise and worship is like dieting. They do it 1 or 2 days a week, or maybe even less. They feel good for a little while after it, because it sure does feel good to be in a time of total surrender and praise and worship. Oh my, yes, it is a great time. But then the time restraints start to pop back up. I need to hurry up. I need to get to work. I'll pray tonight. I'll listen to that worship song later today. It is like, I need to hurry up. No time to prepare myself. The egg frittata with the fresh vegetables and the fresh fruit. Peeling the fruit takes too long. I will do it tomorrow. While I'm on my way to work, I will stop at Mickey D's and get me some egg and bacon McMuffins with a large Coke. Coffee I will get at work, I need to hurry up. And with that, we have already placed another idol on the stand. Work. No time for God. Maybe we could not get out of bed because we had another idol on the stand. Sex. Or what about the game on the tube that did not end until 11 p.m. Yes, we always have an excuse. If we want to change our diet, we do not need a diet. We need to change our lifestyle with all and everything in it. You cannot spell diet without spelling die, can you? Is there anything worse than the feeling of starving yourself? Starving ourselves from God is not even just a temporary pain. It is an everlasting pain. Satan is very good at manipulating the situation so that the temporary diet of being without God is replaced with temporary joys. We are born to worship. We are born with worship in our hearts, our souls, our very genes. Oh, but somebody might say, I am not religious, or I do not worship a God. I wish I had that kind of faith. The kind that an atheist says they do not have, to be so sure that they do not worship anything. First Lady has given us many examples. Yes, we have been born to worship. You have been born to put your faith in something. All advertising companies are working on this principle. Oh, you do not feel good? Put your faith in this little tablet and you will feel better. You want to look better? Then buy this cabriolet and feel the wind go through your new Sassoon hair. It feels so good. We will show it to you in slow motion. Oh, you do not get it all done? Then buy this phone, and it will go faster with this cell phone carrier. Yes, my friends, all day, all the time, we are focused on putting our faith in something, and with that, to worship at the altar of it. And we praise it all the time, too. Wow, my new phone, fast, baby, fast. Or, have you seen my new house? It has a built-in vacuum. Yeah, right. Cool, praising a dust sucker. No, what we need is not a quick fix, a diet. What we truly need is a lifestyle change. Praise and worship as a lifestyle. Each day, every hour. Glory to God. Oh my, indeed, praise the Lord. Not, my friends, as an empty phrase, but as a sincere thank you to God. God is good. to remove ourselves from a God diet and to move ourselves to a lifestyle of spiritual whipped cream, praise, we need to start by taking a good look at ourselves. Just like with dietary changes, we need to make an inventory of what is in our lives, what we eat and drink, and how it makes us physically fat. In the same way, we need to take a spiritual look at ourselves and make an inventory of what makes us look away from praising God. In the book Gods at War, the author Kyle Eidelman brings up some very good thoughts. To be able to start praising God, we need to follow some of his suggestions for a spiritual arteriogram. What disappoints you? When we are disappointed, too many times we have placed intense hope and longing in something other than God. What do you complain about most? Same as the previous question, but now we look at external situations. When we complain most about our finances, is that where we have created an idol? If we complain most about our spouse, if we complain most about respect in the workplace, maybe then we have what other people think about us on a higher scale than what God thinks about us. Where do we make our financial sacrifices? Scripture tells us that where we store up our treasure, that is where our heart is. What worries you most? Maybe it is your spouse or losing another loved one. Maybe it is being made fun of, or that what you have done or created is not good enough. The danger here is that your spouse or loved one, acceptance or perfectionism becomes an idol. Where is your sanctuary? When you had a bad day at work, where do you go first? Grabbing a beer and falling down in front of the TV? Sitting down with your favorite music or book? Or do you dive into the garage to start tinkering? Where do you look for emotional rescue? The Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 46, verses 1 to 2, Amplified Bible. God is our refuge and strength, mighty and impenetrable to temptation, a very present and well-proved help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains be shaken into the midst of the seas. This, to me, looks like a great place to go to. We are, however, so quick to forget this, so surrounded by all of the worldly things. It is all about choices, and it is all about what is more important to you. Again, it is about God or our idols. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 to 15. Complete Jewish Bible. Therefore fear Adonai and serve him truly and sincerely. Put away the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve Adonai. If it seems bad to you to serve Adonai, then choose today whom you are going to serve. Will it be the gods your ancestors served beyond the river or the gods of the Amori in whose land you are living? As for me and my household, we will serve Adonai. Joshua, who led God's people into the promised land of Zion, brought all the elders together and asked them the question. The question that is still very valid for each and every one of us. Where do you send your praises up to? Who do you worship? Who do you follow? In contrast to our spiritual arteriogram, where is your hope? What gives you the most joy? Where are your treasures stored? What provides you true peace? Shalom. Where do you go in times of trouble? I pray that in all of these you have said, God and His presence. We are not really used to it, that in the Bible we get these kinds of choices laid out for us, are we? Who do you want to follow? The gods provided by your parents, if that might be a shopping addiction, or a pristine house, or complaining about all and everything, or being better and the best in all we do? The gods of the Amorites, the Amori, or with other words, the gods of the place where we live? Political correctness, the TV, the car, the news, the career, etc. We have heard the listing now many times, and there is still so much more. Or do we choose to follow, to praise, to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Elohim, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit? Joshua made his choice. First Lady made her choice. I made my choice. We choose God the Father, the Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the one triune God, the three in one, the Almighty, loving, caring, providing, healing, forgiving, grace-extending Father. Oh yes, amen, what a glorious God we serve. With that choice, a long and not always easy path has started. A lifestyle change, a life-altering change. A change in our lives from never having enough to always having enough. A change in our lives from never being satisfied to always being satisfied. A change in our lives from not knowing how to receive comfort to a life of receiving comfort in His presence. A change in our lives from complaining to a life of praise. A change away from being without a destination to a life with the destination of the city of gold, the new Yerushalayim, the new Jerusalem, here we come. A change away from being with people who do not care to a life that is filled with people who care. A change from a life of being alone and orphaned to a life of being part of the family of God. A life away from being offended to a life of being appreciated. Is this going to be an easy road? Oh no! Or maybe we need to say it stronger. Oh hell no! Hell will have no hold on you anymore. Hell is no longer a scary destination. Hell is real, and hell is still scary, but in no way is it in doubt if this will be our destination. It will not be. Hallelujah. But the lifestyle change needs to start. And what is a better time than now? When it is hard to remove the idol status from our prized car, or prized job, or prized spouse, or demonic book series, or provocative language, or our music DVDs and TV, it is possible. It is possible to change from a life of idolatry into a life with God Almighty and a life of praise. As we read it in Psalm 150, verse 1, we will read it again. Psalm chapter 150, verse 1, Common English Bible. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise God in His fortress, the sky. Praise the Lord, it starts with. It does not say, go to church, or go to the synagogue or temple. It is not a question, it is an exclamation. Praise the Lord. Yes, it is more than okay to praise the Lord in church. And yes, you must surely praise the Lord in our place of worship. It is His house, after all, is it not? Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise God in His place, which is under the sky. Oh my, this means it is everywhere. God's place, His fortress, is everywhere. This means we are three times admonished to praise the Lord, and then verse 6 also ends with, let every living thing praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When there is no place where we are not to praise the Lord, how much more then must our lives be a life to praise the Lord? Again, we turn to David for these wonderful words. Psalm chapter 103, verses 1 to 6, Common English Bible. Let my whole being bless the Lord. Let everything inside me bless His holy name. Let my whole being bless the Lord and never forget all His good deeds, how God forgives all your sins, heals all your sickness, saves your life from the pit, crowns you with faithful love and compassion, and satisfies you with plenty of good things, so that your youth is made fresh like an eagle's. The Lord works righteousness, does justice for all who are oppressed. I praise His name for all the blessings received. Praise His name for being my God. We can praise Him at any time. We can praise Him in a meeting with other Christians, and we can praise Him in our car on the way to work. We can also praise Him when we are at home and our situation is not so promising. Even if the outlook is bleak, we can take time to praise the Lord. In doing so, we are lifted out of our situation and we see Christ as the wonderful one that He is. We realize that even though our situation is not so good, Christ is good and worthy to be praised. We even forget that our problems exist and only care to praise the Lord for who He is. Holding to truth. By praising the Lord as a lifestyle, we are getting out of any and every situation. We are lifted up out of this and into the blessed peace and presence of Jesus. We forget about our situation when we praise our Lord and Savior, and we are brought into a moment of true peace. In our moment of praise, we look only to the author and perfecter of our faith. Let us walk together on the highway of our salvation, the road to the New Jerusalem, God's highway of salvation, grace, and mercy. Let's pick up the pace and run the race. The prize and finish line is in sight. The sign says it, the New Jerusalem in your reach. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 2, Amplified Bible. Therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us, and let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us, looking away from all that will distract, to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Conclusion. Beloved, when we talk about the whipped cream of worship, we are not talking about something extra and optional, like a little swirl on top of a spiritual dessert. We are talking about a life that has discovered the sweetness of Yeshua Himself. Worship lays the foundation, but praise rises like fragrant incense above it. Praise is what happens when revelation of who God is explodes in our hearts and spills out of our mouths, our choices, our habits, and our daily routines. The call of Scripture is not merely praise the Lord on Shabbat, but in all you do. That means in the kitchen and in the car, at the office and at the gym, in the hospital room and in the quiet living room when everyone else is asleep. As Shaul Paul writes, Colossians chapter 3 verse 17, Tree of Life version, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Yeshua, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This is the lifestyle of praise, every word and every deed carried out in His name, as an offering of gratitude. At the same time, a life of praise is impossible without surrender. We cannot keep our idols on the shelf and expect our hearts to remain free. The Ruach HaKodesh gently, but firmly, asks us to lay down the false gods of comfort, control, entertainment, and self, and to enthrone Yeshua alone. This is what it means to obey Joshua's challenge. Choose today whom you are going to serve. A praising life is a choosing life, choosing again and again, day after day, to align our hearts with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to reject every substitute the world offers. And so, dear friend, this is more than a teaching. It is an invitation to step out of a diet, of occasional worship into the rich daily feast of praise, an invitation to trade anxiety for adoration, complaints for confession and thanksgiving, restlessness for the joy of the Lord, an invitation to walk with Yeshua on God's highway of salvation, shoulder to shoulder with that great cloud of witnesses, heading together toward the shining gates of the new Jerusalem. If today you sense the Ruach touching your heart, then answer him. Right where you are, whisper a fresh yes to Yeshua. Offer him your schedule, your habits, your music, your money, your words, your worries. Ask him to turn your whole life into a sanctuary of praise. And as you do, trust that he, who is the author and finisher of your faith, will complete what he has begun, and that one day you will join the eternal song, Hallelujah, for Adonai Elohei Tzvaot reigns. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.